Let's hear about this. May the boys tying somebody to a tree and use them for arrows. What years did you go there? About 62 years ago?
Yeah, 62.
Four. Do you know when the tour is?
We moved down, right there. Einstein Stafford's house.
Yeah.
He had to get to that house. And we moved down. I didn't have long. Poppy was town cotton. I'm
going to go. Oh, come on, tell us.
Well, then he was town copper back 1924, 25, somewhere in there?
Something like that.
How long was he town copper?
Not long.
About 2 years, maybe?
Oh, no, I don't think it was over a year. Wilbur Gates was a
town boy. Yeah?
And, of course, they knew Wilbur Gates before they had come in. He used to keep, town store, not
yeah, he
worked
had
there
Anderson
a while.
Town store. Mrs. told me.
And so he knew Bob, so he helped Bob get this job. So they made a ruling that you couldn't park the wrong way on the street. You had to be on the right side, the left side. So when Martin Pop come up, Mr. Jakes' car parked on the left side. I got to put a ticket on it. I got it, lost his job. We'd come home and he worked at night. Us kids, I remember one time I had a toothache. And he had a pair. Carol's got them now, Pullikins. He called them Pullikins. Pull the teeth back. Well, he pulled all our kids' teeth. That old toothache. Mom got him up out of bed. He pulled my tooth and he pulled the wrong damn tooth.
Oh!
Yeah.
Pulled the wrong tooth.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
What did you do then? Have to get the other one pulled too?
Have to get the other one pulled because the other one wasn't hurting.
Oh, God. That's bad enough to get the one pulled that was hurting.
Well, when Grandpa quit being cop, what did he do then for a living?
Now, he did work for Murphy selling, hauling wood around town. But he must have done that. Because, Carol Mildred was married when we moved to Farmington. We lived there right across from, the house where we lived is tore down.
We're out in Collins' father was.
Collins' farm, that farm, that's what Pop and Carol Till.
Uh-huh.
The tenant house is on the other side of the road.
Oh.
And that's where we all lived. And we had to walk across this field to Farmington School. It was sitting right across right along the railroad tracks. Not where it is now. They built that new thing. Raymond Poor lived up there on that farm. And his tenant house was right down the street. That's Wilson's father.
Woody's father? Yeah.
In other words, your son-in-law's grandfather. bull. That's what the goddamn thing get after. If you wouldn't fear that damn thing, he'd take a brick and hit that thing right between the eyes. Boy, you get a big kick out of watching it. That's where I got the slapness, the damn slapness I ever got slapped in my life.
What, over that bull?
No. Ray Cannon sat in back of me in school. And Ray Cannon was one of these type of boys that he was a nice fella, but he was a boy that his father had a good job and he got me about anything he wanted.
Yeah.
And he had that prettiest damn penknife I ever looked at in my life. So he was showing me this damn penknife. And I turned around and Miss, what was her first name? Miss Emma Taylor was our teacher. And she had TB and she had to quit and her brother Elwood took over. So he was showing me this damn knife and one night turned out and I said, God. And Elwood Taylor slapped me so damn hard I seen stars for 3 days. Slapped me clean around that damn seat, you know. So I, all right, so I said, one time after I had the store and Ray Cannon's in the store and Russ Salmon.
That wasn't Ray Senior, that was Ray.
This is the boy that the man had died from secret. He's working secret. And so I said, I always said if I ever become a damn man, I said, I intend to lick the hell out of Elwood Taylor. Told him the damn boy. And then the devil went and told Elwood.
Oh, no!
And I wasn't good at it. That's all right. So the next morning, I went uptown to the bank and right in front of Reese's Theater here, I met Elwood Taylor. Elwood, he grinned, and I grinned.
That was the end of that.
Yeah. Oh, we were all good friends. Him and his wife both dealt with.
Well, when you lived down there to Farmington, did you go to any of the churches down there? They tell me Salem Church used to be out there in the country a little ways, and they moved it into town. Did you go to it?
I don't know. I'm not going to say. I'll tell you where we did go to school, or church we went when we lived, went to Tommy off school, we went to that little church out in Vernon, or Annabelle, and I sang the same thing. Sunday school. I'll be a Sunday.
That's a pretty song.
Did you sing with?
His brother.
Sang was pretty good.
Well, this Tomahawk School out here to Anderson, did they teach all the grades or did they just go up to 8th grade or what?
I believe it was the 8th because Marine didn't go to that. And the bus picked him up and brought him to Harrington.
Oh, yeah. You remember any of the teachers' names?
Danville?
Yeah.
Miss Tapman was one. First teacher. And that's one that she had to quit. But Miss Mary Paskin.
Got the best of her, huh?
Yeah, Walter Paskin went away. The rest of the time I went there. Roughed her up at me, I can guarantee you.
You tell me I'm with it. Come on, you're just full of it.
Thank you. my friend.
Debate when you're in business, isn't it?
And I'd have missed. You left there and went to the drugstore. Anything went on in the boulevard, somebody told us during the day. We don't do that anymore. But anything.
But then you were a family operation there. Yeah, but you've been there a long time.
Quite 3 years, and again, I guess we've been there now.
Am I right?
No.
No?
No. 16 years old. Dad was a communist in school of Harrington. Now, I want you to tell anybody I said that. That was old Dutch Swing. That's me in his life. I had an average. Miss May Jones. Yeah, but she.
I got along with her. The Russell sister-in-law.
Yeah. Oh, that's his family. He's 58, yesterday. But after all, and Miss May Jones Holland did this, and you had no been studying that. Holland done that. Come back 7th grade, you're that old bastard. And that is no bad. That's just how much I feel, but the time I said that old bastard's in a ditch around me, I could pull him out, I'd stick his damn head deep. I thought of him because I despised the ground he walked on. And he never touched me in his life.
Just the way he had his attitude.
One day I went home, I said, I'll tell you what you do. If you will let me quit school, I'll go to work, and I'll never be around again. So they talked it over. Holly let me quit. I'm sorry now I ever quit. Don't misunderstand me. Because that's one thing everybody else has to do. Type right good then,
but
closed store on one side of the street. Do all this damn bookwork. been out there for weeks and now I never got to. In there by myself, and all you do is sit down. So Samuel, he come up down from the store, and he said, put yourself in there next morning.
So that's where you learned to meet cuts.
Yeah.
Brown.
Uh-huh. You used to do all the butchering. And cow that.
For you because it helped you get in your own business.
Started out at Fort Eustis. The best job I ever had in my life was on the tax case.
What year was that? What?
Said, will you run this till I give my man notice? I think a month. Nothing doing on the farm, you know. So,
go ahead.
So anyway. Huh?
That's what put him in the service.
Yes, it is.
It was one of his customers.
No, it wasn't. No. But he, it lives in that great big place where Cubby's down. Street off. Come on.
What do you think you're doing? I said, what the hell does it look like?
I said, we'll put you in the army. I said, go ahead. And the first thing you know, Dummer's got a notice. He had to go.
I was
to go. So, had a meeting with the board. Okay, so I went up there with him. So you're set? Old man Drexler, he back there, I'm messing. So, he, So I went back up the door to Alf Williams and he said,
why don't you go down and see the service man's wife? Please. It's going to cost you damn standing out service there. I put myself down and see what he's taking me in there. I was just waiting to come to get your head in the box today. And I feel most decent.
Old Doc Chipman wrote me out a letter.
We just needed home.
Well, sure.
Nobody else at home with her. And
I'm going to sell that store. Find out how much it is. And Marie let me have the money to buy it with. Everything back with interest too.
Good. That's good. And you were there how many
years? Years when I got six. She had to work hard to do this thing. We bought a lot of the stuff. Bought the walk-in box. I can't remember. Because We stop her and get the ice cream going. What Stardust would do?
Ice cream is down
there. Leon Wicks come in, him and his wife.
They've
been out to there for something. And then they said they stopped in the store, said, "My God."
Yeah, at the same time, the store's not friendly.
Eating sandwiches and stuff. Highway. We stop there. Old Webby out here to burn the stuff.
Things about them or anything like that. Anybody wanted certain things?
That'd feel a lot of legs laying.
Yeah. To do that.
Jumped out of the damn truck right quick, you know, and I said, I got along with Jim all right, but he was always somebody. So I told myself, now I'm not going to say that. Jim can tell the bad news, but I'll be able to say something about one, I'll tell them. So that afternoon, because we had a worse wind. So we didn't have any doctors, and and that bastard beat me in that. I like to eat my tail up. I said I was going.
Yeah.
because they had the bank built where I lived. Brandon built and bought a place down where Mr. Bannerhouse Water Department is. And it's down on it.
Well, where the jewelry store is.
Uh-huh.
And that's where he used to buy. And then he sold out to Bob Warren. And he knew who Bob Warren was. Do you remember him?
Yeah,
I sure did. He got by and hurt Mr. Rose Bell. He was milky, so anyway, worked there a while, and then we,
that was after we'd lived on the farm. I went on the farm when I worked for Preston Brown. Well, that was a Raleigh farm, yeah, but I didn't know that was the main farm. And that, up there, and while Winkler owned Cash Road, that was where I was found, and they were used on the way in to stop the dinner.
Oh, is that where you were
going? That's right where he was.
Do you remember when they used to have the boxing up over top of the... The dances up there?
Nope. Never went. No. Joe Jones's.
Oh, yes.
Against somebody's head, they wasn't no fight.
Yeah, he kept order.
He kept.
Did you ever go to Nightingale? Go down to Green Lantern?
No, never did.
No.
You remember that?
Oh yeah.
He forgot.
Right.
Do you remember when 13 became dual highway?
No, but I can tell you about 13 before it ever come dual highway.
What about it?
I got killed out here.
No kidding. Tell me about it.
We lived on Tom Chambers' place. And we grew cantaloupes. Stuff like that, and Pete Shaw bought cantaloupes out here right on the other side of where Ernest Killing had his place.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd haul them to him, but we'd haul them with a truck till we got done, finished. When you're about done, one don't need to run the truck. So I said to Dunworth this day, I said, we'll put some straw in the wagon. And I had a pair of big black horses that I just sprouted a peacock with. I said, and I'll carry them cantaloupes out there to Pete's neck. Never had no trouble with the damn horses. Come right through where Carol lives now, right through that street. Turned there and went on out to where the shopping center is. Just as I was going to turn right there.
At East Street.
Just as I got there at that shopping center, one of them damn horses gave a lunge, and they both started running. And when you got a pair of horses on a cement, and nothing, just chain traces, now you've got a job on your hands. Kick this darn seat out from under me, and I laid right flat on my back, and I pulled that wagon right up on them damn horses. Up. And there wasn't no houses built. Jones's house or none of them wasn't built out there then. So I thought to myself once or twice, I'll pull this dude out there in that field. And then I look at that curb about that high. I thought if I hit that curb, that's going to throw me clean out of this darn thing. So I kept my going. Went across that Route 13, and as I crossed that Route 13, the damn big truck went by the end of my truck just like that, my wagon. So I got him stopped out there by Jim Fry. And there was five or six cars following me. Old man George Solomon's father was one of them. Who the hell? So man, when I got him stopped, I was mad. I just crawled right out of the damn wagon. And I told him that thing. I said, you son of a bitch, I'm going to cut your goddamn
thing. And I thought you said you was proud of him.
I was proud of him, but I was mad with them bastards then. And these fellas said, oh, don't do that. Don't do that. I wasn't going to cut your damn throat. Well, I got them straightened up, and they just tore their heels and all up on the wagon, you know. And the chains, the traces had come unhooked. Got them all hooked up to turn them around and come back up the far side of Jim Layton's store. And a truck went by 13, and these damn horses stood right on their hind feet in the fall.
Oh, yeah.
So I got them settled down, and I went on out to Pete Shaw's right up 13 that time. Went around there and, son, I can't handle these cantaloupes. I didn't have a damn web on the cantaloupe. Everyone of them wore off. Vibration. So I started to cross home back way. Went up the railroad tracks, I got them dudes across 13 there, and I put my seat up there like I'd have got that tail end of them reins, and I throwed it on them. Made them bastards run every step of the way home. If they slow up, I'd burn them a good. I'll make you run. That's how come I close to get killed.
Lost your cantaloupe crop end of it to begin with.
Yeah.
Well, did you ever grow any strawberries and bring them downtown for the...
A good strawberry. Excuse me, one year we lived on Pax Place.
Did you bring them downtown or did...
No, somebody always comes. I don't believe it wrong now. Might have.
They might have come and farm and picked them up.
They might have. Mildred used to pick for us. And I don't know who used to pick. We had an acre.
How much did you pay to pick them?
2 cents a quart. 2 cents a quart, and you got, I don't think you got 5 cents a quart when you sold them. Nah, they weren't worth nothing. Indeed.
And then you had to furnish the berry couple on top of that?
Sure. Berry and crates.
What did it cost for a berry cup back then? Do you remember?
No, I don't agree.
Must not have been more than half a cent.
Did you buy them up did you buy them up at,
Minner's?
No. Uptown here they made them. Because Millard and Chauncey made the, fillers that went in them. They used to take...
You mean down there where Saul's bearing them? Yeah. Might have bought them down there. Could credit them. I used to work down there when I was a kid.
Yeah?
Sure. Old Beezer, that old colored fellow was blind. You remember him?
Beezer, I remember the name.
He worked over to, he lived over to Houston.
Was his name Beezer Kane?
I believe it was. No.
I've heard the name Beezer Kane.
No, Beezer Kane lived out here.
This
was a colored fella. Big colored fella. He was blind as a bat. He couldn't see nothing. And he worked out that mill, and there was that pit of boiling water where he threw these logs in to make stage light. He never got in there. Either.
But somebody did.
Well, he never did.
Yeah. There was some man, I've got his name up there in my desk, Ray Dill told me, this man, his cause of death was listed as heart attack or something, heart failure or something like that. But he said what happened was he fell in that boiling vat and said by the time they got him out, naturally his heart failed him.
Sure.
And he gave me his name and everything. He wasn't married. He was survived by his father, and he gave me his age and everything. But I don't remember the name now, but I've got it
well,
up there in my desk.
Well, we used to have a big time work down there.
I don't remember hearing that name, Beezer.
Beezer, he used to make brooms. Old Houston.
That wouldn't have been...
You never seen him riding, you always seen him walking. He walked Houston back every day.
Reverend... Wasn't he a preacher?
He could have been.
I should find out who he is, because I went to that dinner at the colored church down to Alex's church, and some lady came in to sit down in the back table behind us, and she said something about she was born and reared in Houston, and her father was Reverend so-and-so. And I said, yep. He used to come around door to door begging for his church. She said, you're right. Said he never begged for his family, but he said he wasn't too proud to beg for the Lord. And I said, I knew your father when I was a little girl.
Well, this was old Beezer.
And that has to be the man, because he used to make brooms.
Pop used to work down there and make baskets. So us kids used to go in the summertime, get jobs, calling staves.
Well, there was no child labor laws then. Kids could work any time as long as they were able.
Lord mercy, kid had 10 cents in day if he could buy a herring.
No,
So anyway, we used to work down and we used to have a big time. We'd cook credits. A good man to work for him one way. He'd let us have a truck, the whole gang. In the basket department and go to the beach and go clamming Every one of them. Whole truckload.
I bet
you. Have a big time. Went clamming one day, I remember, I believe it's Slaughter Beach. Of course, beaches are different than they are now.
Tide was out, you could just walk right out there.
Yeah, George White was long. Not his father, but you know George White, I think, don't you?
Yes.
Remember him?
Yes.
He was off a little ways from some of the rest of them, and Darren Shark got after him. Out there. And then again, huckleberries come on. We'd all get in a damn truck and go huckleberrying in these woods around. Get huckleberries, I mean.
You could find them around here then,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
You have trouble finding them nowadays.
Yeah.
Well, we used to pick them by the bucketfuls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. People wouldn't even go to the woods to pick a huckleberry anymore.
Okay.